Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I am Christopher Tyler, and on the other side of the phone is Damian Sanders from pickandroll.com.au. Mate, I'd ask how your week of hoops has been, but I know it's been fantastic because the Olympics is here and the Boomers and the Opals, they are both going very, very well.
They're going outstandingly well, and I know that if you haven't seen it, make sure you do. The Boomers versus the USA game was a fantastic game. The Boomers led for two-thirds of the game, probably even a little bit more than that.
I'd say more, yeah.
Yeah, probably a bit more than that. And really, probably should have put the US away, but it was a great performance. But pleasingly, the likes of Andrew Bogut, Joe Ingles, Paddy Mills, Dele, all these guys after the game, they're not satisfied with losing that game.
Yeah, I saw Bogey tweeting out afterwards that they're not content, which is fantastic to hear. But saying that, we are still proud of him. They can say that we shouldn't be proud of him and all that sort of stuff. But really, even with, I think it was 34 seconds to go in the game, we were still in it. There was still a chance that we could win with 34 seconds left in the game. If you would have said that to us before the game started, we would have thought you were crazy. I looked at the line for the game before it started, and the line for the game, according to one of the booking agencies, I can't remember who it was, they had the line at 29.5.
Yeah, well, to show you how crazy it was, there was one guy in the US put $10,000 on the US to win the game for a return of $100.
So he would have been sweating a little bit. But saying that, even though we were so close, I never really felt like we were still going to win. And I'm sure it was just...
Well, I did. Going into half time, we were clearly the better team. And on that note too, the fact that Boomers were up by 5 points at half time was the first time that the USA had trailed in Olympic competition since 2004 at halftime.
Yeah. And you could tell it on their faces. Well, the way they were acting, the way that Coach K was verbalising on the sidelines, you could kind of tell that they were a little bit worried and a little bit shocked, I guess, at the physicality that the Boomers brought to the table.
Yeah, the fact that they weren't there for autographs and
exactly.
Interviews after the game, I think, was more than anything else. But these, I guess the Australian team that we haven't had before, the majority of our team have played against these guys regularly. They are current NBA players or past NBA players.
Yeah.
And it's a dime a dozen for them now. They're not in awe of these guys anymore. They know they're human. They play against them. They play with them. And they're very comfortable in that environment. And coupled with our never say die attitude, you know, Bogut's got a bit of a reputation for being the bad guy. And Dele, of course, has copped his fair share of flack for basically going after hard balls. And that's the Australian way, and the Yanks don't like it.
Yeah, so...
And again, Paul George comes out after the game calling us dirty again. Like, seriously, this is a guy that got called for a tech foul, pulled someone over, and had his own bit of pushing and shoving because he didn't like how the Aussies were playing.
Yeah, so in the end, we went down...
Who was dirty?
In the end, we went down by 10 points, but the way that we played, the brand of basketball that we played was fascinating. We were playing quick, physical... quick, physical basketball. And I know the refs kind of got involved a little bit, but I didn't mind the fact that we were getting, you know, techs and fouls called against us because it meant that we were playing physical and we weren't giving them easy baskets. And that's the kind of basketball that you need to play against the USA, especially if you're shooting as well as we were. Mills was going ballistic. Dele missed a few threes, but was still playing well.
Anderson
could not miss.
The clock.
We were seriously playing out of our skins. And that was, I knew it probably couldn't last the full four quarters, but it just about did. It didn't last the entire game, but my goodness, we were close.
Yeah, I think the guys have got the belief. The Boomers have the belief, and I think they know they can play better. And there's a lot of talk before the game, particularly from the ESPN crew, that Australia weren't going to show everything. And I've got a feeling that's the case. Lemanis really did run everyone. He didn't run everyone into the ground. And whilst Dele and Paddy in particular played their 30 minutes a game, he really didn't run anyone, gave everyone a run. And if we look at that really critical period late in the third, start of the fourth, he had Bogut on the bench.
Yeah,
and
that's the start of the fourth.
That's
what
the US got a little bit of a run on.
Yep.
We had to play catch up again. And really, I think we've got something in the tank. And I know they weren't satisfied. I think it's great. But coming back to one of the other things you said about the style of play from the Boomers, this is just something we haven't seen from an Australian team before that I can recall. And if we go and have a look at the French game where we smacked them, we really did thrash the French. We played against a Serbian team with that are very, very good, and we ran away from them.
And I don't even think we played that well against Serbia either. We kept turning the ball over, and we let them dominate offensively on the offensive boards. We let them dominate. I didn't think we played well against Serbia, and we still came away with the win. We still came out of that game with a 2-0 tournament record. And that's
big. We came out of that game because Matthew Dellavedova absolutely starred. He kept
another 13 assists, yep.
And then his teammates got going in the final quarter and we ran away with it. And if it wasn't for him right now, we could be 1-2.
Yeah.
But realistically, if the US didn't have Carmelo Anthony today, then they would have lost the game and Australia would be 4-0 right now. And looking at 4-0 ahead with the China game. And yeah, it was just an inspiring effort from Australia. And the fact that we've already accounted for France and Serbia games against, and I'm going to say minnows because they're not very good, is China and Venezuela. Now, Venezuela is probably going to be the team we have to look out for the most because they're very athletic. And if there's anyone we're going to struggle against from an Australian point of view, it's going to be a team with athleticism. And some of the better teams have struggled to put them away as well.
My favourite stat from the game today was that there were 5 starters on the court at the start of the game, obviously, who had NBA championship rings. All 5 of them were born in Australia.
Yeah,
4
like
for the Australian team,
nice
1 for the US team, and of course that's Kyrie Irving. If you take Kyrie Irving's points off the US and put it on us, we win.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's a great stat you throw at me there. But the other thing to take away from the game is I think Australia got a lot of respect, and not just respect from the rest of the world, which I think's long overdue, but I think we've got the respect of the head honchos at USA Basketball. And Mike Krzyzewski, after the game, a word for word, how he finished, they're going to vie for a gold medal.
Yeah. We really do have a shot now. Coming into it, I think a lot of people were skeptical whether we were even going to get past the pool rounds. But now, we seriously are looking the goods to come away with the medal. Probably not the gold. I'm pretty confident that the US have that in the bag. But there's every chance we could medal either the silver or bronze. Every chance.
I'm not so sure about that, Chris. I reckon Australia's a real chance. I reckon if we have a matchup against them, one, the US are going to have this second thoughts in the back of their head next time. Now, that could work in our favour. It could work against us as well. But I just think this belief, this never-say-die attitude and the hunger for more, I think that bodes Australia in good stead. We need to round out the group, as I said, with wins against China and Venezuela. Do that, we'll finish second in the group. And what we've shown the rest of the world, too, is the USA are beatable.
And what I like as well is that Bogut actually did play. We had a conversation last week about whether we should play him or not, and you said that if we were 2-0, we probably shouldn't play him. But he obviously felt fine to play. His body was holding up all right, and he did play.
It depends on how he feels.
I was having a conversation with Luke Sicari. I think I mentioned it last week. Luke Sicari, who's one of the writers for Pick and Roll, and he was adamant that we shouldn't play him against the US because there was no chance that we were going to win, no chance whatsoever. And I said to him that he was an idiot because you have to play as if you're going to beat them. And in the end, Bogut was almost the difference. If he would have played at the start of that fourth, if he wouldn't got into injury trouble, I reckon we would have been even closer.
And if you look at our 3 games, where's the success come from? It's coming from Andrew Bogut. If we look at our pre-warm-up games, both in Australia and in South America, we were lacking rim protection. We were lacking that real threat. Now, Baines was playing well offensively in the lead-up, but against the might of the USA today, he went a little bit missing. He had his moments in the game. He's had his moments against the Serbs and the French, who are very, very good.
He was very good in the first 2 games,
really,
especially against the French.
For us is Andrew Bogut. He is like the last piece of the puzzle that we needed to be able to compete for a medal. And we've spoken about that a little bit before, and right now he's proving it. And for Australia, we've really got our version of the big three at the moment. It's been Paddy Mills, Matthew, who's leading all of the Olympic competition in scoring yet again. He led London. We've got Matthew Dellavedova with 11.3 assists a game. He's leading the competition as well. And, of course, Andrew Bogut right now is the glue that's making it happen.
And what people don't realise about Andrew Bogut as well is that when he's playing for Golden State, where a lot of people have been watching him play over the past however many years, he's the fifth option. Whereas when he comes to the Olympics, he is one of our focal points. We run our offense through him, so we're seeing what he can do. Because when he's playing at Golden State, No one's going to give him the ball. He's a fourth or fifth option on that team. So you're seeing Bogut have more space, especially against the French and against Serbia. There's a lot more space in the paint because it's not clogged up with these beasts that you see in the NBA. So he's got more space to work, and it's just a slower game for him, and he can really show what he's capable of because it isn't in the NBA. He is the focal point for this team.
Mm. Oh, most definitely. And I think the rest of the world has gone, Andrew Bogut can still play.
Absolutely.
You know, talk around,
doesn't look injured, doesn't look slow, doesn't look old.
No. And the value that he's going to provide the Dallas Mavericks next season, I think they're licking their lips. They're like, wow, we're getting a guy we didn't think we were getting here. We thought we were getting a center that's at the end of his career, hasn't got much to give, can't score, and is pretty much just a defensive pivot. Well, he's a bit more than that if you use him properly, and I think we're showing the rest of the world how Andrew Bogut should be used.
And Bucks would be feeling the same thing about Dele as well. They knew who they were getting, but really, he's just a different level type of player when he's playing for Australia, because once again, he's getting more of an opportunity than you saw him have at the Cavs. He was the backup point guard in Cleveland, but he's our number one point guard, and some of the passes, some of the alley-oops that he's connecting with Bogut and Baines have really shown what he's capable of, and everyone at Milwaukee will be loving what they're seeing from Dellavedova at the moment as well.
Most certainly, and the fans over at the Bucks are absolutely going wild over Dele. Twitter is meltdown with Dele over there with the Bucks fans, and he deserves every little bit of credit. And again, and a lot of credit has to go to Andre Lemanis. Now, I have been the biggest fan of how he's coached this team in the past, and I think they've made some mistakes. But right now, I think Lemanis and his coaching crew have got it right, and they deserve to get a lot of credit for what's going on. They're using Dellavedova in the right way. They're using Patty Mills in the right way. They're using Andrew Bogut in the right way. And right now, the way this team is playing, as I said, they're playing some of the best basketball. It's not what they're doing with the ball itself. It's what they're doing off the ball that is probably the most impressive. If you really watch what they're doing off the ball, that's why they're getting good looks. That's why they're getting good cuts and scores to the basket. And probably the biggest thing that stood out for me against the USA today is, usually you see highlight reels of dunks from the USA. They couldn't get to the rim.
Yeah.
Didn't see highlight dunks or anything.
They had to rely on their three-pointers.
There was none of that. They were living and dying by the three-point line, and it was Carmelo Anthony that was the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So while our men's are 2-1, which is a phenomenal effort, our women's are going even better, 3-0, with three very impressive wins, the last one of which, Penny Taylor, just shows that, mate, she shouldn't be ready for retirement. She should not be retiring the way she's playing. 31 points yesterday.
Amazing effort, and that's the most in Olympics by a female basketballer, and tops the 30 points that Lauren Jackson had against Russia all those years ago. So Penny Taylor has been sensational and in that game. She had a quiet one the game before, though. We must admit, she was very, very
quiet. We didn't need her. That's all right. We didn't need her.
Yeah, didn't need her, but having said that, Penny's heating up at the right time, and you know, for the Opals to succeed, they need a fit and firing Penny Taylor. Liz Cambage, we need to talk about her too. She has been absolutely dominant for the Opals. There's been really no one to stop her but herself right now. Foul trouble is the only thing limiting her at the moment.
She's too big.
An absolute beast, and has been unstoppable. No team has had an answer to her.
So out of all the performances from both the men's and the women's, which performance... Okay, let's take away the US one, because we all know that that was probably the best performance, even though it's the only loss that we've had, ironically. It's probably the best performance out of any Australian team so far this Olympics. But put that one to the side. Which other performance from either the Boomers or the Opals have you been the most impressed with so far this series, or this tournament?
Honestly, I think the one that showed the most was the Boomers game against Serbia. If we're talking Boomers, if we're talking Opals, it was definitely that game against the French. The reason why I say that about the Boomers is Serbia are a much more organised team, much more physical team. French, I don't think, played very well at all. And having said that, the Boomers had a big say in that. But for the Opals, it was definitely the game against the French. It really started to open up, particularly given I thought they just hadn't been on fire. They hadn't been clicking on the surface. I even think there may have been a little bit of disunity there. I think there was wasn't all quite right. And having said that, I think it's all started to come together in that win against the French.
So the Opals' next game will be tomorrow morning, 6:45 a.m. against Japan. We're penciling that in as a W.
That should be a win. They should definitely win that game. And I would expect that Liz Cambage is going to have a big one. She's going to be able to dominate the Japanese. They've got no answer to her whatsoever. The only thing we have to be a little bit concerned about is just making sure we get to those three-point shooters. They are very good shooters. But if we do that, we should win very, very comfortably. And again, really encouraging signs to see Penny Taylor. But also the other one we haven't talked about, and it's our version of the big three at the moment with the Opals, is I mentioned Cambage, but we've also got Leilani Mitchell. She's been fantastic. Absolute star for us so far, and really, really the kind of impetus we need, because Erin Phillips has been a little bit quiet.
She has actually. Sorry, I was just typing something into Google there. She has. I haven't watched a lot of the Opals games, but she hasn't kind of given the, well, I guess, stuffed the stat sheet as much as we were expecting from her. But look, if we're still winning, if we're still 3-0 and she's not contributing, then we can't really complain, I guess, because there is time for her to find her form when we need it, but we haven't needed it so far.
That's right, and hopefully she comes good. Just like with the men, you know, Ryan Brokoff is the guy that probably we want to see more three-point shooting from and see him hit. He just hasn't been able to hit anything so far. It's been very valuable at the defensive end, rebounding, doing his role, slashing to the basket. He's been very good. And like with the Opals, we probably want to see Erin Phillips start doing a little bit more. She probably does her best work in getting to the paint and setting others up, though, more so than shooting. But she has an ability to be a knockdown shooter as well. And for us, for our Opals to beat the US, when we eventually face them, and we will face them, we're going to have to be able to hit the three-point shot and hit it a pretty good clip, because for us to beat them, that's going to be our weapon. And right now, we just haven't been firing all cylinders. So there's a lot of scope for improvement with the Opals.
And the next game for the Boomers is on Saturday morning at 3:15 a.m. Those 3:15 games are very, very hard to get up for. I managed to get up for the Serbia game. I didn't get up for the French game. I had to watch that on replay, the highlights. But the 3:15 on Saturday morning against China, pretty confident about that one, the way that we've been playing?
Very comfortable. Yep. It'll be a very, very physical game. The Chinese will play physical, but they are nowhere near the standard of any of the other teams, maybe apart from Venezuela in Group A with Australia. So they should easily account for them. And really, the Chinese have only got one weapon, and that's Yi Ying. I can't even say his name. You know the guy.
Yep.
Former NBA player.
Yep, he'll do. that pronunciation will do.
He's not European. I can't get it out. But in all seriousness, the Boomers are looking really good for a medal, and so are the Opals. So we're in a great position to be in, heading towards the back end of the group stage. And, of course, finishing 1 and 2 in your group is of paramount importance.
Well, let's hope at this stage next week we're just as optimistic as we are right now, because I think every single basketball fan has a reason to be excited about what they've been seeing. Let's hope it continues. Definitely. Over the next week. Mate, just before we go, do you have anything else that you wanted to mention or plug?
Yeah, definitely. Look, the other thing is we're blessed to have a number of college teams touring Australia at the moment. And, you know, the likes of UCLA are about to hit our shores. We've got Washington still in the country, and we have a number of other teams. So if you head to pickandroll.com.au, you can find out the schedules. And as we find more of those games being played, we'll update them so fans know where they can go to see some of these touring teams, which, unfortunately, for one half of the country, they're all up the eastern seaboard.
But not unfortunately for us.
For our Perth friends and South Australian friends, unfortunately, they won't get to see any of that.
No, they can travel. They can come. They can fly over.
And they can jump on a plane.
Absolutely.
They can. But, you know,
check out the eastern side anyway. Melbourne's certainly worth a visit.
Oh, it definitely is. But set the alarm, make sure 6:45 a.m. tomorrow morning. So, yeah, definitely see the Opals take on the Japanese. And then we've got 3:15 a.m. And if the Boomers win, that'll be hard to go back to sleep, because you'll just be excited. The Boomers are going to be 3-1 and looking at a top two finish in the group stage.
And Thon Maker as well, sign a shoe deal?
Oh, Thon Maker signed with Adidas. That's another good one. And, you know, yeah, there's just so much going on in the world of basketball. We've got so much to look forward to, both now at the Olympics and looking ahead to the 2019 World Cup and the 2020 Olympics, where Ben Simmons has said that he's keen to be a part of. So
he'll be there, Exum will be there, you'd hope the Maker will be there, someone like Isaac Humphries probably will be in the mix by then. So it's going to be an exciting team.
Really exciting. You know, we're really entering a golden era.
The only thing, Bogey won't be probably playing by that stage, you wouldn't have thought.
Sorry?
Bogey probably wouldn't be playing by then or wouldn't be as good as he is now. So that is...
Well, wouldn't it be good if we had him as well come the 2019 World Cup?
Let's just keep him on ice until then. Can we do that?
We'll ask him when we get an opportunity.
Sounds good, mate. As always, where can we find all your stuff?
Well, pickandroll.com.au, and we'll be doing live tweeting of all the games for the remainder of the Olympics on Pick and Roll AU on Twitter, and you can find all our stuff on Pick and Roll AU on Facebook as well.
Best place for Aussie hoops content in the world. Damo, thanks for that, mate. See you next week.
We certainly will.
Go Boomers, go Opals.